This is America's game. Now, stop humming this, everything can change. That warp tool make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop how my intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 35. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And this week, I am joined by Mr. Michael. Michael, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? Rocking the Red Wings. Little Hockey Town t-shirt on, too.
Yeah, just in time for them to fucking fall out of the playoffs and not fucking make it.
Love it. I follow absolutely zero hockey. I'm just aware there's teams.
Yeah, well, in June and July, I think it's July, we'll be doing a South Harmon live NHL draft stream as well. So
oh, yeah? Fun. You'd run to that one solo, I think, huh?
Yeah, that would probably be just me.
By South Harmon, you just meant America's Game.
Yeah, just be one person on there.
I'll be drunk in June and July, like the whole month.
We'll have you do 260 milligrams at the same time, and we'll see how it works.
You better get a doctor. Put that guy on standby. Think Jesse Morris is available?
No, it depends on how many toes you got.
I could put six on one toe if you want. On one foot if you want.
Does your wife have any of those strappy shoes you can shove your big fucking barefoot in?
She might have one. I got a big-ass foot, too. Got a big-ass foot. Not just because I'm fat, but... I always had big feet and big hands. I don't know why.
Oh, if you know, you know.
You know, if you know, you know, but they lie. Like, that ain't the truth, all right? Right. You know the old saying? Big feet, big socks.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. What a good start to and tight end month. This is great. Anything good going on, man, fantasy-wise? I know we got some... We just did a auction draft on Sunday. That was a lot of fun. And then coming up here in the next week or so, a couple of the shit leagues that we have on Sleeper starting the rookie draft. So that'll be fun.
Just letting anybody know who tunes into America's Game. If you're not a coward and you'd like to take over an orphan team, hit Eric or I up. We got plenty that we need to fill. And right. I'm telling you, a lot of these leagues, as soon as we fill, we'll draft rookies too. So a little bit of excitement there. And most of them, I think Eric... 2024 is already paid for. Just owes the league dues for 25, and we are good to go.
Yeah, good to go for sure. Yeah.
Some of the teams too, like, you know, I've taken over some real dumpster orphans, you know, in the past, because it is kind of a challenge, and I do like it. Right? You always feel like you got carte blanche. Nobody has any expectations when you take over a shitty team. Right. So it's kind of fun. And Eric, some of these teams that are sitting here for orphans, I'm like, this is actually pretty solid. Like, I would have killed for this to be my last orphan that I took over. Yeah. It's got first round picks. What's going on here? So if you guys are interested, I'll hit us up, Twitter, YouTube, comments, wherever. We'll find you and we'll get you an invite out if you're MySpace. Not a coward. Yeah, MySpace. I might still have one. I don't know. Did they ever deactivate those or do they just like stay for infinity?
I don't know. It's something to Google after the show. I'll have to see.
Nice.
See if it's still there. But yeah, wide receiver tight end month here. Starting it off this week here with Mike. And we're going to look over our wide receiver and tight end rankings for Dynasty and kind of talk about that. So let's go ahead and we'll kick it off here with some wide receiver ranks. So I think the first tier, you can have it in any order you want. Mine's different than Mike's, but I think these first three guys are in the top three tier, and that's Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase. That's how Mike has it. I have it Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb.
That's fair. Is it the uncertainty a little bit at the quarterback situation for Minnesota that changes it for you?
Yes, yeah. So I put Chase first just because he's locked in with Joe Burrow.
Right.
I could probably easily put CeeDee Lamb over Justin Jefferson right now, too, and be comfortable with that.
That's fair, too.
But I'm fine with Jefferson at two. He's still going to get a boatload of targets from Sam Darnold. If Sam Darnold wants to continue in the league, he knows where his bread's going to be buttered. Just fucking fired in there to 18.
I think it's interesting. There's a lot of correlation between the top three overall in startups for wide receivers that you're talking about here and, like, the top three wide receivers in this rookie class for me. Like, I really don't care how you rank them. They're all good, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
If you had Rome Odunze, number one wide receiver in this class, I would not fight you at all. I'd be like, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Fits.
I agree.
So, same way, if you got Chase one or CeeDee Lamb one, doesn't matter to me. They're all three dynamite, and they should all go in about the same spots in startup drafts.
And I haven't seen too many people that have Chase at one either. I feel like
except Fizzle.
Oh, does he? Okay.
I don't know if he does or not, but he always says CD Goat on every stream we do. So.
Gotcha.
You know he's going to comment on this show on the YouTube CD Goat as soon as he hears it.
Shit, he's the one who made the thumbnail for it.
Right. Exactly. He should. Did he put CD on this thumbnail? I didn't even look.
No, okay. I have him putting him on for next week's.
Okay.
This week's was Chase and Laporta.
Shout out to him for
for that one.
Listening to you.
Yeah. So one question I do have about this. Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, do these guys go automatically to tier one for you, or are those guys starting in tier two?
They're going to start in tier two for me. I can understand if you have them up there. Like, they are really, really good. But if I got to make differentiates, the second tier is phenomenal too when we get to those guys. But there's just those minor differences, and their difference is going to be the fact that we haven't actually seen it on an NFL field. Right, we're the top three guys. We're talking 20-point-per-game scorers off the rip, like every season that they play. So,
right.
I mean, that's actual NFL production. The other ones are projections. Like, I think reasonably we can project them to be very, very good, but we haven't actually seen it yet. And I don't think you could have a conversation where you're like, I'm going to trade, you know, Jamar Chase one for one or get like a third round as a plus for Marv. Like, I don't think that's very reasonable in most leagues. Now, maybe some you could, but I think you're probably foolish if that was the route you were going to take.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't think they're going to be far off. Do you think all three of them are going to be automatic top 10?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's just how it's going to go, especially if they get the draft capital that we're seeing. You know, potentially two of the guys in the top five, you know, maybe all three of them in the top 10 seems pretty reasonable. And most of them ended up in landing spots that we can get excited about. So, yeah, I think that definitely could happen.
Yeah, it is interesting because I think I'm pretty comfortable with Neighbors and Harrison going in the top 10. Odunze, I really, really like, but in the first year, is he going to be better than DJ Moore? Most probably not. It's like maybe a 75-25 shot that he's better than DJ Moore, you know, 25 being he'd be better. So can I rank him over DJ Moore right now? I don't know. That one's close to me. That's something I'd have to think about.
That's if he ends up there.
Right? Well, yeah. Like, if he ends up there, right.
So hypothetically, let's just think about it, though, because I saw Cody Carpenter's five-round mock. I was listening to that pod on my drive home, actually, right before we got on. Mm-hmm. And he had them trading back up after trading down from number four. So they passed on Marv. They traded out with Minnesota. Minnesota came up to four to grab their quarterback, right? Arizona went down to 11 and then they moved back up to 8, right? But you're out of the Marv range already, right? Yeah. Like, if that move up to 8 was to take Rome Odunze, and now it's Kyler to Rome Odunze, and Rome Odunze as the number one option in Arizona, you know, no competition whatsoever, really. Would that change your opinion?
It's so tough because, you know, my 10, 11, 12, 13 are all the number ones on their team, too, and they're really fucking good, too.
Right.
So it's tough, but
right.
I'd probably maybe have them in the 9 to 12 range, probably.
So, I think that's fair.
Still, I think it's still pretty fair.
It's really, you as we get more into this, listeners, you're going to find out it's really, really close with these tiers and, like, big tiers and minor separation between the tiers. It's a good space to be if you hold a lot of these wide receivers, because this is a fucking great group to invest your dynasty capital in, whether it's through trade or startup draft or auctions, whatever it is. Wide receivers are pretty much king at this point running dynasty.
Right. And Mike already has the rookies into his tier, so I'll go over his tier two now. He has Amon-Ra, Marvin Harrison, Romo, Dunze, Malik Nabers, and that's his tier two. My tier two, which I don't have the rookies in yet. I wait till after the NFL draft. But I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, Puka Nacua, Tyreek Hill as my tier two. So that would be finish my top eight.
Not too bad. Just on the Roma Dunze point, too, you talked about the three wide receivers, Eric. Keep trade cut for what it's worth. They have all three of them within the top 14. So Nabers comes in at 9. Obviously, Marv is really good. But Adunze is the trailer, but he's still top 15 already before we even know where the hell he's going.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair for sure. I would probably have Adunze a little higher than that on my rankings.
Right.
But that's still pretty good for tier two. Is there anybody in my tier two that you think shouldn't be there?
Nope. I will not fight you a lot on these ranks, man. We're going to have to get down to some real crusties before I go, oh, Eric, what are you doing? This guy's terrible.
Right. So I see one of our big differences. You have Garrett Wilson at 13, and I have him at, what, 5?
Right.
What's your feeling on Garrett Wilson?
Just more of a projection, right? We've seen moments, and a lot of it's dog shit quarterback play, so it still is kind of a projection. It's a projection for Drake London, too. That's why they're very similar for me where I ended up ranking them. We think they can be really, really good. We love the talents coming in. Not a lot has changed other than please just get them quarterbacks who are competent, both of them. And I think the community as a whole values them that way. It's just really tough, you know, when you got to nitpick and pick hairs and try to figure out exactly where you're going to rank some of these guys, especially Drake London, the Garrett Wilsons. Puka is a lot like Amon-Ra, except for the fact that he blew like Amon-Ra's rookie season out of the water, blew every rookie wide receiver basically out of the water. But you still have those draft capital concerns. So like with Amon-Ra, when we talk about, well, why isn't Amon-Ra tier one? It's just because like when you take Amon-Ra into a trade, subconsciously, the other manager, even if they're an Amon-Ra fan, goes, well, you remember he was a 5th-round pick. like it takes time. I mean, if you think about it, somebody was like, ah, that doesn't make any sense. You know, Antonio Brown was a late pick, and he was the best receiver in football. But go back and look at historical ADPs for redraft during that time, and it took him, like, years to finally solidify himself as wide receiver over one. Like, it took a 1,600-yard season for people to finally go, oh, fuck. He's really good, and this is coming off the back of a 1,400-yard, like, double-digit touchdown season before. So those lower draft capital guys like Puka and Amon-Ra, like, it does take a little bit of time for the community to finally go, oh, you know what? The fucking draft capital didn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. So just how I rank them, like, that's still going to be in the back of my head, that if I go into a trade with an Amon-Ra or a Puka like that, it's just a little bit tougher, right? It's not as sexy as bringing a Tyreek Hill for a win now team or a Drake London or a Garrett Wilson sometimes.
Right. I mean, even if you just look at Garrett Wilson's numbers for 2 years, basically with Zach Wilson, like his numbers have been pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, despite the anchor on his back, basically, and Zach Wilson bringing them down. So Garrett Wilson has just been phenomenal. I think he's talent wise. I think he's up there with CeeDee Lamb and Chase and Jefferson and all that. Like, I really think his talent is as good as those guys.
Yeah.
Hopefully this year with a healthy Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball, he should be able to solidify himself as at least a top eight, you know, wide receiver for me, and I have him at 5. So I'm pretty confident in that with Garrett Wilson this year. What do you think of – you did mention Puka. Do you think – you know, are we too high on Puka to start, or do you think this is just right for him, like in this top eight range?
I mean, some people would probably consider, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, anywhere in that range, disrespectful for him, and he should be 5 or 6, to be completely honest. So for me, I'm a little bit lower just because of what I mentioned before, but you know, 10 doesn't feel abysmal, especially when I think about before I updated these, Eric, like, you know, from 7 to 28, it was really hard to decide between like all of those guys. So I tried to finite it, you know, just a little bit more, just to dial in and really reflect how I would approach it if I was in a startup draft right now, and these were the go. You know, I got defined tiers. I think they're a little bit different or a little bit better than the tier below them, and I subsequently would draft them based on the rank, you know, more times than not. But in trade discussions, you know, having Puka with AJ Brown or Tyreek Hill, it's like, you give me anything, you know, like, for example, say I had Tyreek Hill on my team, you give me any type of plus, anything, a third, some fab, whatever, and you're offering me AJ Brown or, you know, Puka on the other side, I smash accept it. Like, it's done. I don't even think about it. So when I do my tiers, that's kind of like, if you offered them one for one, I wouldn't care less, right? If I had Puka, who I have at 10, and you're offering me AJ Brown, probably not taking the deal, right? Same tier wide receiver, not really gaining anything, but you offer me any type of plus, we're in. We're done.
Right.
Move on.
Yeah, and then to round out Mike's tier three, he does have AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, Puka. So we're pretty much on track with who we have so far. He's up to tier three tiers, and I'm only up to my second so far. My tier three starts at 9, and that starts with Chris Olave. Drake London, I've moved up to 10 after Kirk Cousins signing. Brandon Ayuk, I have him at 11. Michael Pittman, 12. DJ Moore, 13. Jalen Waddle, 14, Devontae Smith, 15, and Nico Collins is 16. That's my tier three. And then Mike's next tier would be Pittman, London, and Wilson. That brings him to 13 total. Anybody in that tier that you think maybe doesn't belong in mine, tier three?
No, not really. I mean, your ranks are pretty good, and we're kind of fall in line just with some minor differences. One of the guy I'll highlight, though, for me is Michael Pittman. Yeah. You know, I'm sure the market definitely probably prefers a Garrett Wilson or a Drake London. Like, they're a little bit sexier, but Michael Pittman just, he reminds me so much of that Michael Thomas type role, you know, just the massive amount of targets and volume that he's going to get. And as of right now, nobody's really a threat to that at all. You know, even with A-Rich coming back, people can point to, well, maybe it was Gardner fed him. But go back and look at how Michael Pittman did with A-Rich at the beginning of the season. He was just fine as far as targets earned. Right. I mean, this is a guy who just shits out, you know, 10-plus targets a game. And for that kind of production at his age and size, yeah, I'm very, very excited about Michael Pittman.
Yeah, Pittman is a guy that I definitely came around on after this season. Like, I came into the season, I'm like, with Anthony Richardson, I don't think he's going to do as well just because of Richardson's probably rookie struggles he was going to have. But no, he was just fine with Richardson, like you said. I agree. And then Pittman, even with Minshew the rest of the year, showed that he is an alpha, earns 10-plus targets a game. Dude's a great, great, great wide receiver. He earned that contract extension that he got this season or this offseason. So, yeah, I agree with you. He's right up there for me. I got to have him in, like, I mean, it still feels like I could probably have him a little higher, but it's just, it's hard for me to crack above Ayuk and London and Olave for me for him. But I think this is a good spot for him at 12.
See, the only minor difference is like London and Wilson are a little bit more projections. And if you go look at fantasy points or warp or however you really want to look at it, you know, Michael Pittman, at least on the production front, is just a little bit above them. You know, he's really, last year he approached, you know, wide receiver 14 in points per game or warp or however you want to look at it. So for that versus a guy who's more in the 12s and we're like, hey, the situation's going to improve, a little bit more of a projection. But I do put him in the same tier. I just favor the production a little bit more.
Yeah, I got to project London pretty goddamn high this year, to be honest with.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins has made so many wide receivers in this league. You know, I'm not any, Justin Jefferson, obviously, but back to, you know, McLaurin. He had, I don't remember if he was with McLaurin or not, but.
He was not. McLaurin came in with Haskins. After. Yeah. Okay. Same year.
That was with Pierre Garçon. Yeah. DeSean Jackson, those types of guys. Like, he made those guys. So, obviously, Adam Thielen had some big years with him, too. So,
yep.
I expect Drake London to have definitely his best year of his career this year, as long as he's healthy and all that. So I had to throw him up there above him. And then, like I said, we already talked about Garrett Wilson. So the other one I wanted to talk about from my tier that I still struggle with a little bit is Nico Collins at 16. I just don't know. Like, yeah, it was a great first year with Stroud. Like, I just don't know if he's going to be able to continue to put up those kind of numbers that he did this past season with Stroud. What's your thoughts on Nico?
I think you're spot on. He's a lot of I don't know, which is why I rank him down.
I want to see it one more year.
Which is why I rank him down at 20. Like, you love the size, you love the speed. Some of his metrics were phenomenal. You know, like, it's a guy who's getting downfield. But then there's some question marks, right? Like, does Houston bring in somebody else in the draft, like at the wide receiver room, and how does that affect him? What happens when Tank Dell's back and healthy for a full season? Does that affect him? You know, does some of that production tail off at all? So I think there's a lot of question marks that just makes me feel just a little bit uncomfortable, but the community just seems to love him. And if you look at like ADP and Keep Trade cut ranks and where he's going, it's like, this kind of just feels like, you know, I'll fade just a little bit. Like, I still like him, right? This isn't somebody I look at like, I have to get this guy off my team. It's just like, let me see if there's somebody out there who really loves Nico. Like, who could I, you know, maybe make a flip within the tier and get a second or something added on or something along those lines, or improve my draft pick in this class? So it's a wait and see for Nico. Like, I think he probably deserves to be up there. I'm just not 100% sold.
All right, next tier up for Mike is his tier 4. We went over the Pittman, London, Wilson is his tier 4. His tier 5, he has Chris Olave, T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, DK Metcalf, Ayuk, and Nico Collins. So we pretty much have everybody the same. I think maybe I didn't have DK in my top tiers yet. And then my tier 4 is where I have a glutton of people. I have like whatever that is, 15 people. Zay Flowers, T. Higgins, Rashee Rice, DK Metcalf, Jordan Addison, Tank Dell, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, JSN, Amari Cooper, Jaden Reed, George Pickens, Mike Evans, Debo Samuel, and last who I moved all the way up here was Hollywood Brown. Big, massive tier. Like, any of these guys, like if you told me, oh, I like Debo Samuel above Zay Flowers, I wouldn't have a problem with that, even though I have like a 15-spot difference between the two. I think anybody in this tier, it's like kind of just pick whoever you want.
Yeah, we're starting to get into that range where it's just, you know,
everyone's the same, yeah.
Yep. I just have tiny differences. You know, I ended up separating 14 through 40 into three different tiers. And Eric, if you told me it was all one tier, I would be like, yeah, that's probably fair, that's to be completely honest.
I'm actually looking at like my tier below it. I'm like, fuck, I think this guy should be in there. This guy should be in there too. And I'm like, it's hard to tier all these guys together, but, you know, got to do it.
I feel like we should change the colors on them where it's just like, this is how I rank them and this is how I tier them. But if you ask me, I probably don't have a really good reason. You know, like, there's not like one thing I can point to and go like, this is why. I'm going like, it's more gut feel. It's just personal preference.
Right. Yeah. So like this tier could be dark purple and then the other tier could be like a lighter purple.
Right. Yeah. Just a little bit less. Yeah. Together.
Right. I mean, they're all really good players. Is there anybody in there, my tier 4 or yours, that you want to highlight?
Jalen Waddle kind of stands out for me. I mean, a lot of things I see, people really love Jalen Waddle, but I'm of the opinion, though, he's kind of capped as long as Tyreek Hill is still doing his thing, right? We've seen that. So he's had some injury problems, even dating back to college since he snapped that ankle, and, you know, in the NFL has kind of been the same case, and there are some encouraging things, right? When he came in his rookie year, he was not being used down the field at all and was just this target hog. And you're like, well, if the deep down the field stuff happened, boom, like you're looking at a dynamite. And then they go out and they bring in Tyreek Hill and he does get used down the field, but the target hog thing went away.
Right.
Now you're relying on a more of an explosive player who's a little bit more boom or bust, and people really value him like a locked-in wide receiver one, like that true alpha, and he's not that. Like, this is a problem with a lot of guys that I have in this tier. You know, Olave, Higgins, Devontae Smith fall into that category. They got a lot of competition, really good competition opposite him. So they're always going to be kind of capped until, you know, that person moves on or leaves or they get traded, whatever the case may be. So I do like them, just not as consistent as the guys above them. So that's why they kind of fall down in a tier.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys like that you mentioned. Waddle with Tyreek, Devontae with AJ Brown, Metcalf with JSN and Tyler Lockett. I think Nico Collins and Tank Dell are going to take away from each other. I threw Addison. I have still fairly high, but obviously with Jefferson and Hockenson there, like Addison, I could probably maybe move down a little bit too. Then you have the older guys like Davante Adams, Diggs, Cooper, the guys that have done it for years and years and years. And you still got to rank them kind of high, but you're also factoring in the age too with it. Like if this was redraft, I'd probably have Davante Adams a lot higher. I'd probably have Stephon Diggs a lot higher than where I have him right now in dynasty ranking. So yeah, it's interesting conundrum here with all these younger players. Let's talk about Hollywood Brown since I moved him up quite a bit. I'm of the belief, like I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill, but he does have pretty damn close speed to Tyreek Hill. And if they use Hollywood Brown kind of like how they use Tyreek, I think Hollywood could have his best season as a pro this year. If he gets in there and connects with Mahomes right away, stays healthy. That's another big question mark, staying healthy for him, because he's been injured 2 or 3 years in a row now, missing some games. But I think if Hollywood can stay healthy, I'm not expecting him to put up Tyreek Hill, Mahomes types numbers, but he could probably do 80% of what Tyreek did, and that's still quite a bit.
That's a big conundrum for me too, because we're talking about a guy now who's going to be 27 at the time of the season starts. You know, I have him all the way down at 38. Whether you think that's abysmal or not, he does just kind of fall into that. You do like the situation with Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce, we know, is the one, but Hollywood deep downfield is going to be really nice too. I still prefer Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice, like I'm more excited about him coming in. It's tough with Hollywood because you did mention, like, he's had this opportunity to be this just dynamite alpha multiple times, you know, throughout his career, whether it was at Baltimore, whether it was with Arizona after the trade. And it's always just like sometimes he does it, and then sometimes he's injured and he's coming back from the injury and he kind of disappears. And when you look at his final counting stats, you're like, man, Hollywood Brown's been in the league for 5 years now and he has one 1,000-yard season on his record.
Right.
Like, that's a little bit concerning. He's played with Lamar, he's played with Kyler, and he got one 1,000 total yard season on there. Like, at some point, the injuries have to factor in. Like, I do like the situation, and I think he's interesting. I don't want to be that person who jumps up way too high, like, oh, it's the Chiefs. Like, it feels like every time we do that with anybody who goes to the Chiefs, we just get kicked right in the teeth.
Right. I think, for me, I would be willing to take the risk as long as it's not like, am I giving up a top 8 draft pick for him, you know, in this year? No, I'm not doing that. Like, I give up the 111, 112, you know, the Troy Flankrin, Xavier Worthy range. I think I would take the shot on Hollywood Brown there, especially if I had Mahomes, you know, being like a championship team that had Mahomes or something. If I could give up my 111, 112 to get Hollywood Brown, maybe I can get like a third or a fourth back too with it. I'd be okay with that.
Man, I didn't realize how bad this was for Hollywood Brown too. In points per game finish, he's never been above 21st.
Yeah.
That was his best season too. That's when he went over 1,000 in 2021.
Yeah. It's definitely projecting a little bit, especially, you know, because he's been injured a lot. I am projecting a little bit, but I just think this is going to be a good fit for him. Like, this could be, you know, one of those signings this year that wins you the league. Like, if you had him, you might win your league because you had Hollywood Brown on it. Like, the outcomes are there for that to happen. Now, the outcomes are there for him to, you know, be a little bit better than, like, Kadarius Toney, you know, and then and just not work out very well. So, I mean, I'm acknowledging that, too.
I'd have to look at a few more advanced metrics too, but some other things that, like Hollywood, that are concerning for me that I pulled up, his route win rate, like how often he wins routes, not just total, because total, you know, also factors in just how much you're out on the field. And we know with him, injuries have taken their toll at times. It's only 37%. So last year he was 121st in percentage of route wins, which is like, whoa, that's what? Awful. For a guy like that whose game is predicated on speed and, you know, being shifty and acceleration, like to only win 37% of your routes ran is like, what's going on here? Like, what happened with you? So I don't know. This might be a good one. I might have to go back and really do a deep dive and make a final decision on Hollywood, because it's starting to feel a little bit more risky for me.
Yeah, there's definitely some risk there. Like I acknowledge. I just think, just add in Mahomes, man, and this could be the recipe to win a league for you at the right price. I'm not going crazy, but if I can get him for the right price, I think this is a risk I'd be willing to take. And if it flops, you know, it flops. It cost me the 111, 112, big deal.
So keep trade cuts. I thought they'd be a little bit more reactionary, but they have him at 34 right now.
34, okay.
Wedged in between Adams and Amari Cooper.
Okay, that seems fair.
They really hate the old guys, though. Like, Evans is down here, Diggs is down here.
Yeah, that's how it always is with them, for sure.
Really hate them.
Yeah. Mike's, we'll do Mike's tier five. We did tier five, tier six.
Six.
That has a lot of the same guys. DJ Moore, Tank Dell, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, Rashee Rice, JSN, Pickens, and Debo Samuel. So that's your tier six. Tier seven is where you have most of the other guys. You have Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, Amari Cooper, Jaden Reed, Deontay, Hollywood Brown, Godwin, and Calvin Ridley. So this is the old as fuck tier.
Yeah, basically.
Mixed in with the rookies.
Mixed in with some rookies, right? Yeah. Mixed in with some rookies that I'm pretty excited about. But yeah, it's the old as fuck producer tier. And Jaden Reed. We got to throw him in there too. Jaden Reed's another guy that I am shitting my pants if I have him. Like, I don't know what to do with him.
He was the most consistent wide receiver for them last year.
He was, but some of his metrics, kind of like Hollywood Brown, the snap share one is going to jump out to you off the page, and you're like, this dude is only playing like 50%. What the fuck is going on here? Why? Right. Why? Like, why is Bo Melton getting run? Like, why are some of these other guys? So... And then I factor in the fact that Christian Watson missed a majority of last season. You know, even when he did come back, he was in and out of the lineup during the games. Yeah. It's like, what if Christian Watson is, you know, even semi-competent? Does this affect Jaden Reed? I know Adam brought it up this week when we were doing a pod about Jaden Reed, and the red zone targets were really good, right? He had 11 red zone targets, and or 14, something like that, 14. I think I brought up that Christian Watson only played in 9 actual games, and he had almost just as many. And I'm like, see, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know. I don't know if Jaden Reed's actually really good. It's a guy I like, but some of the metrics just go like, ooh, I don't know, man. It kind of feels like I should shop this guy around and see if there's somebody who's really convicted on him and see if I can take advantage of him.
Right. Davante Adams, I had, you know, quite a bit higher than you, but you obviously have some rookies in there. I just think with Adams too, man, like he could age kind of like Kelsey has. Kelsey's 34 right now, and Adams is 31. Like, it wouldn't shock me if we had 2 to 3 more years of Davante Adams putting up these 100 catch, 1,200 yard seasons and 10 touchdowns. Like, I think the community has gotten maybe a little bit too low on how good Adams really is. And I think his game could age pretty damn well compared to maybe some of these other guys.
I think a lot of it really factors into how many of these, like, superstars we've seen kind of like cliff suddenly, where we start to shit our pants because of the age thing, right? Like, the age is always going to factor in. I'm with you, though. I think he can probably age pretty gracefully. I just think what I got to rank him versus everybody else, it's like, I'm going to take the little bit more safer because of the youth and, you know, like the value retention. You see so many of these wide receivers where you come in as a young guy and you basically just don't shit the bed, you'll be fine. Like, just don't Treylon Burks it, just don't Quentin Johnston it, don't Sky Moore it, you'll be okay, right? If you could put up 500, 600 yards in your rookie season, you'll be okay. And if in your second year, maybe you can improve that to 800 or 900 yards and, you know, like a wide receiver 3 territory, people are still going to value and you have a little insulation. With the older wide receivers, it's a little tough because the first sign of trouble, you know, people are jumping ship. Like, I told you should have sold Cooper Kupp. He's over. It's done. He's retiring. It's, you know, that's the shit that comes into play. So right. I think I'd rather be a little bit lower in my cost and like how I rank them. And then when you see it in season, be that person who's ready to jump and like buy him. Like, oh yeah, Devontae still got it. You know, like right. Devontae definitely still has it. So
I just think in the off season too, it's easier to get these older guys because people are looking to just unload anyways. So if you can get Mike Evans and Davante Adams, those are the two that I kind of want to mention. Either of those two, I think their games could age pretty good, and they're still going to be good here for another 2 to 3 years. And you might be able to extract that value, help you out the next couple of years to win a championship. And you're probably not going to lose much, and you don't have to give up as much to get them. So I just wanted to point out Evans and Adams for me.
Yeah, those guys kind of fall into that early second-ish, like draft capital in Superflex 12-team leagues, mm-hmm. where that's kind of like the price where you start at. You know, ideally, I would love to do something more along the lines of like the, let's say like the 205 or 206, Eric, and like kicking a third and 25 or something along those lines to put those on my team. I think if I'm sitting there and I'm facing right now, though, having with this class the way it is to like commit to the 110 or the 111, I go, I'm kind of good now. Let me see if these rookies can build a little hype and a little steam first before I make this decision.
Right, I think I'm with you. If I could give up like a 204 and the 304 to get Davante Adams or Mike Evans, I'm fine with that. All right, so now we're going to move on to my tier five, where a lot of your guys were at here too. So I have Terry McLaurin leading that one off, Deontay Johnson, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, Christian Watson, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, and Keenan Allen round out my top five there. And so we're pretty much caught up on our top, you know, 40-ish players now, tier-wise. Anybody in that tier that you think maybe shouldn't be in there?
McLaurin's a tough one for me because I love the player so much. I think he's a phenomenal talent. And kind of like Drake London, Garrett Wilson, and DJ Moore up until last year, it was like, just get this guy a goddamn quarterback already. Like, please, you know, get him somebody who could throw the ball. Last year was kind of eye-opening. I thought Sam Howell was fine, and I know people fight me on it, and he's terrible. And, yeah, I get it. But that offensive line definitely didn't do that whole offense any favors. That offensive line was fucking atrocious. But still, like, he's kind of like Hollywood when you look back. He's a little bit sexier of a Hollywood as far as production goes when you look at it, because he does just continually top 1,000 yards. It seems like 130 targets every year for Terry McLaurin is just, like, baked in. But the actual production at the end of the day, I mean, his best finish ever, you know, was his second year in the league, and it's wide receiver 20 in points per game. Like, what if it doesn't ever really happen for him? The age is never going to catch up. I mean, this is a guy, when we talk about when we get to the season, is going to be, you know, 29, you know, probably what, October, November. I don't know what his birthday is, somewhere around there. He's 28 and a half right now. So you do the math, add 6 months. Right. I'm not good at math.
And then, you know, maybe adding in an elite quarterback this offseason with the number two pick too. He's going to be the guy to throw to. Like, they're not trading up to,
right,
you know, get one of these other guys, you know, neighbors or whoever. They don't have the draft capital. So McLaurin is looking like he's going to be the trusted veteran, the number one guy for whoever they bring in, Jaden Daniels, McCarthy, whoever it is, where, you know, him and McLaurin should be hooking up pretty good. So I'm pretty confident in that. You know, with Kingsbury, he should fit in that offense pretty decently. And then Deontay's kind of the same thing as McLaurin. Like, he's had some decent years, but he's also had that 1 year with no touchdowns, which was like 2 years ago. So they kind of feel like the same. Godwin's had some really good seasons, but with Baker, it kind of feels like he doesn't get the touchdown catches anymore that he was getting with, like, Tom Brady. So, like, these guys all kind of fit in that same tier. Cooper Kupp, the ankle injuries the last 2 years have kind of sapped him a little bit. And then obviously Puka Nacua has come on and just taken over there. But it wouldn't shock me, like, if at the end of the day next year, like, Kupp and Nacua are like 100 yards apart either. So, like, the difference between those two is not going to be that big.
Yep.
And then Christian Watson, he can't stay fucking healthy to save his life. Hopefully he gets it together there with this year, because I think that's a guy that could shoot up the rankings easily if he finally puts it together, stays healthy. That guy could shoot from 36, where I have him now, to like 16 next year. Wouldn't shock me.
Yep, I'm with you on that one too. Just because of the size and the speed and, you know, the potential just to be an absolute monster in fantasy with Jordan Love. But you gotta stay healthy and gotta actually put it on the field.
Yeah, I would say too, after our top 40 here, like I feel fairly confident in having a bunch of these top 40 guys. After 40, I do not feel very confident in a lot of these names that are after here. So my tier below it is Josh Downs, Jahan Dotson, Jerry Jeudy, J-Mo, Dontavian Wicks, Cortland Sutton, Jacoby Myers, DeAndre Hopkins, Romeo Doubs, Demario Douglas, Tyler Lockett, those types of players. Like, I just don't feel super confident in any of those guys. Some of them I like. Some of these guys I think, okay, they could be pretty good or they're going to stink it up. Kind of like Jahan Dotson's the perfect case. Like, his rookie year was pretty decent, and then the last couple years have been pretty shit.
As we were talking here, I adjusted my tier 7 to reflect this because I have the rookies in here as well. So my cutoff line right now is feeling like 46, which just happens to be Keenan Allen, right? So Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Terry McLaurin, Christian Watson are the guys above him, you know.
Yeah.
But that tier of like down to 7, I'm with you. I feel very confident in having any of these guys. And then once I get to, you know, the Dobbs, the Troy Franklin, the Judys, the Dotsons of the world, like those kind of guys, I go, I don't know.
We're pretty in lockstep here, kind of looking at the same names. Like, they might not be in the same order or anything, but I think a lot of these guys are pretty much in the same boat. Like, I could see a couple of these guys breaking out this year. Like, would it shock me if Jerry Jeudy had his best year with Deshaun Watson? Hell no.
Yep.
Could Romeo Doubs be the guy who's actually the best receiver there over Jaden Reed and Watson? It's possible. It could happen if he has a really good season. Cortland Sutton, he's the only guy there for Denver. Could he do it, or could they trade him and he goes and beats the number two somewhere? You know, Mike Williams with Aaron Rodgers, can he stay healthy on that frickin' turf and not suffer another
please
injury?
Yes.
Kendrick Bourne, another guy that I have kind of high with you. He's probably going to be the number one for New England right now. You know, he could have a decent year coming off an injury. Darnell Mooney, like, I could see him having a great year with Kirk Cousins. Like,
yeah,
obviously people are going to be focused on London and Pitts. Like, Mooney should have all kinds of single coverage. And with his speed and Cousins' ability to throw down the field, too, like, I could see Darnell Mooney having a, you know, 900,000-yard season and having, you know, 7-8 touchdowns, kind of like, you know, K.J. Osborne was doing or Thielen. Like, we've seen Kirk Cousins support more than two wide receivers before. You know, he's did it with Addison, Jefferson, Hockenson, Thielen when he had Thielen and Jefferson too. So Darnell Mooney is a guy I could see shoot up. So there's all kinds of interesting guys in our wide receiver tiers here.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some other guys that I'll highlight in that. DeAndre Hopkins, he's real old and gross. Nobody likes him, but if he came out and he put up another 1,200-yard season, nobody be shocked, right? Kind of like the Mike Evans type. The younger guys that you mentioned, like Josh Palmer is a good one right now, the de facto number one in LA with the Chargers. But Quentin Johnson's there. Like, what happens though if just hype? I don't think it's going to happen. But what happens if Quentin Johnson comes out and has a pretty good sophomore year? You know, like, he's the number one target, maybe hits 1,000 yards, you know, 5, 6, 7 touchdowns, something like that. Like, you start to throw some of your priors out. Now, historically, if they face plant in year one, they're probably a bad bet. But it could happen. Another guy I wanted to highlight, Curtis Samuel. That's a guy you and I have, like, loved on start sits forever. Yeah. Right? And now he's in Buffalo with Josh Allen. It's like, could that be a real nice compliment? You know, could you have, like, a Cole Beasley, but with a lot more talent with Josh Allen? Like, could Curtis Samuel have a nice little bump and rise? So, this tier 9 for me, these guys, you know, all the way from 47 down to, I don't know, 70, 71, like in that range, you're like, I can see something from them. Like, I probably want them on my teams, but by any means, though, if there's somebody who's willing to overpay, these are guys that I flip immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best point. If somebody's willing to overpay for any of these guys that we've mentioned, we're going to go ahead and sell them. But I just feel confident in my top 40-ish, your top 46-ish for you because you have the rookies in there. And once I add the rookies, it'll probably be same spot, 46, 47, that I feel comfortable as well.
At the end of the day, yeah. And they'll probably, full transparency, there'll probably be a rookie or two that I have up there right now that, you know, didn't get the draft capital, or they get a horrible landing spot or a horrible situation. And maybe there's somebody that I was lower on, like a Ricky Pearsall, right? Yeah. You know, if he's a mid or early day two pick to Pittsburgh or something, all of a sudden you go, oh, shit, like I kind of like this. And they'll be the ones who kind of take that spot, you know, of like maybe a Ladd McConkey or Adonai Mitchell, somebody, Troy Franklin, who is up in there. So one of those guys will flip-flop. So, but right now, like, I'd say comfortably without rookies, if you're in the top 40, Eric, I'm in lockstep with you in these wide receiver ranks. Like, you should feel pretty good about them. Like, you're still going to want to make some moves and feel out your market, obviously, but I wouldn't say that you're like, oh, I got to get off these guys. Anybody after that, you know, I'd more aggressively explore seeing what I could do, like see if I could trade for a same tier wide receiver and get anything on top.
And then we're not talking really too much about rookies today, but if you look at the rookie class and like my rankings or Mike's rankings, for me personally, I feel like maybe my top 17 wide receivers, I feel fairly confident in are going to be really good wide receivers in the NFL. And that's, you know, probably me being aggressive. It's probably not going to be 17 wide receivers that come in and make an impact in the league.
Right.
Probably going to be more closer to 10, and I'm missing, you know, seven of these guys are going to fail. But there is a very, very healthy amount of wide receivers in this class that are coming in that are really good. And they're going to send your, you know, DeAndre Hopkins that you have at 50 or whatever it is, and he's going to plummet down to almost 60 if you're redoing your rankings in real time. Or some of these guys like Gabe Davis, Mike Williams, DeMario Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, Darnell Mooney, Shahid's, like, yeah, we like those guys right now, but then you add in the 10 or 15 rookies, whatever it is, and these guys are going to go from, you know, 65 down to 75 real quick.
Yeah, just on the rookies quick, it's, you know, obviously with the, for me, I feel phenomenal about the big three. And then you get into 4, 5, and 6, and I feel pretty good about those guys. And then I get to 7 through 10, and I'm going, I feel good about those guys. And then you get to 11 to 16, kind of like you said, and you're like, yeah, I can see it. You know, I can see it. And then after that, I really start getting into the probably not territory. Like, probably not, but would I be shocked? No. Right. And then I get to my final tier of rookie wide receivers all the way down through 25, and I go, probably not good bets. Probably not good bets, but hey, we'll see what happens at the draft.
Right. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, it's going to be, it's going to be interesting with these rookies for sure, man. I'm interested in a few of these guys.
Isn't it absolutely crazy just the way Dynasty has gone, the NFL has gone, with all these young wide receivers year after year just keep coming in and producing, and now you know, you got to find spots for where are my ranking Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison and Hail Tank Dell hits. Yeah. Puka Nacua came out of nowhere. You just keep adding to the pool every single year. Like, having wide receivers isn't a bad bet.
Yeah. It's kind of started since 2014 with the whole Odell, Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins.
Kicked it off, yeah.
Adams class, like, that's really kicked it off. Like, and every year since, it's just been a new influx of wide receivers every single year, and just turns your rankings inside out. Basically, you have to, like, redo them every single offseason. All right, let's get over to the tight ends here real quick before we end the show. So I'll go with my top rankings here at tight end. I have Sam Laporta and Mark Andrews in my tier one top two dynasty tight ends. You have Laporta, McBride, and Kyle Pitts as your tier one.
Kyle Pitts is a new addition. I'm back in. All right, I'm back in. The Kirk Cousins signing got me there. Right. Just how much he's fed his tight ends historically, right? You saw TJ Hockenson last year, but you know, that's a guy who made Jordan Reed, who was, you know, a terrible athlete at the tight end position, something. So I'm paying attention when Kirk Cousins has a tight end, and one as talented as Kyle Pitts. I put him back in tier one, but, you know, I got to go with Sammy Ballgame, number one, right? Best rookie tight end we've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely one of the the best tight ends that we've seen rookie almost ever. So, yeah, I agree with you on that.
Trey McBride was absolutely incredible, too, towards the end of the season with just the amount of target volume in there. And then they lose Hollywood Brown, and it's like, well, they're going to replace it with a rookie, you know, we think. But, you know, Trey McBride is just going to absolutely eat. So, tier one tight end for me pretty easily.
Yeah, and I have Andrews in my tier one. Like, he's still only 28, so it's not like he's ancient. Still on a really good offense with Todd Monken, was still doing really good there. Probably, I would probably still put him as their number one target. I mean, Zay Flowers is up there too, but I would think Andrews is their number one guy. So I still feel pretty confident having Andrews in my tier one.
He's really good. We did a trade show on him. I have him down at five, but, you know, kind of like the wide receivers, you know, if you really wanted to make an argument for me, one through six, however you wanted to rank them as tight end one, I probably wouldn't fight you on it, however they came in.
My tier two, I have a pretty big gaggle of guys here. I have Kyle Pitts leading that off, moved him up after the Kirk Cousins signing. Trey McBride, TJ Hockenson, I probably might have a little high, I know, compared to you, where you have him coming off that devastating injury. Dalton Kincaid, David Njoku, and Travis Kelce I have for my top eight there to round it out. And Mike has, and here's tier two, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Brock Bowers, the rookie, and Dalton Kincaid to round out his tier two.
So the Brock Bowers hype is ridiculous, right? Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of people who have him as top three. I'm pretty sure Keep Trade Cut already reflects that he's a, you know, top tight end already. How without doing anything? Jesus, tight end two, Eric. Tight end two is where they have him already. Way too rich for me, but hey, just reflecting market here. Travis Kelce, you know what he does. It's just age. That's the only thing with Kelce, right? Because you know he just shits out top three tight end seasons left and right. If not tight end one, league-breaking type seasons when he's on. Mark Andrews is very, very good. Deserves to be up there. The only one I struggled with, and it's really just market sentiment, is Dalton Kincaid. I've always think he's a little bit overranked. Keep Trade Cut's got him at six. I got him at seven. But I'm just really doing the market thing here. Like, that would be a guy, if I were to highlight my ranks, that if I had some Kincaid shares, I'd definitely put him on the block and just kind of seeing what happens, you know.
See what happens, right?
Yep.
I'm fair with that. I had him at six, so yeah, I'm pretty high on him too. But I could easily one day just put Njoku above him or still put Travis Kelce above him. If I'm doing redraft, I'm probably taking Kelce above a lot of these guys still. I'd still probably have Kelce in my top three tight ends for one more season. But just for dynasty purposes, I put some of these younger guys that I like above him. David Njoku had a career year last year. He's like hitting his physical prime right now. And it's still funny, like the dude's been in the league 7 years or something like that, and he's still only 27. So, I mean, Njoku is just an absolute freak.
We get to this next tier of guys where I ended up putting Njoku in, and I just call it my tier of tight ends that I really like, but probably all have one issue or two that knocks them down a peg.
Right, yeah. So we'll go with your tier three here, which is a big gaggle of your top 16. So you starting at eight, you have Njoku, Dallas Goedert, Evan Engram, Pat Freiermuth, George Kittle, Cole Kmet, TJ Hockenson, Jake Ferguson, and Schultz. And I'm guessing you just have Hockenson down here because of the injury.
It's 1,000% because of the injury. You know, those multi-ligament ACL, MCL injuries for pass catchers, running backs, wide receivers, doesn't really matter. Tight ends, now you can throw into it. Late season, also another red flag, like later in the season. So when I rank him that low, it's not because he's not talented, right? If you told me TJ Hockenson's healthy heading in after what he's done, I mean, he's tier one tight end right off the books. But when I'm doing these off-season ranks and I'm kind of thinking about how I want to approach the dynasty market, this is a guy who's probably not playing for the first 8 weeks, 10 weeks, something along those lines. And then, you know, historically when they come back, they're going to have compensation injuries, right? He hurts his right knee, pulls his left hamstring, right? Overcompensating. So the slow production, the multiple injuries. I think the dynasty market right now is still just riding the high of last season, which I kind of want to take advantage of. Because definitely production early season, if you're just looking at 24, is probably not going to be very good, if any at all. So that's somebody where I would pivot and get the appropriate plus.
Right. And then my tier three and four, which would pretty much bring us to the same spot, I have Jake Ferguson, Evan Engram, Cole Kmet, George Kittle. That's my tier three. Tier four, I have Luke Musgrave, Pat Freiermuth, Michael Mayer, and Dallas Goedert is my top 16 tight ends right now. It is funny to, like, remember last year during the draft, it was, you know, Mayer was up there, Musgrave was talked about, Laporta was talked about as, like, the top three. And obviously Laporta fucking smashes the ceiling this past season as the top tight end, rightfully. But, like, nobody talks about Michael Mayer now. It's like he's, like, fucking dead to the world.
No, and I'm kind of interested, too, just with the Michael Mayer price. Like, I'm not a big, like, go buy tight ends guy. Like, it kind of feels like most leagues, they're irrelevant, to be completely honest. That's a warped discussion, right, with Koopa. But, yep. You know, if we're going to value him so damn low, like, you know, maybe that's the guy I kick off my A-warp tight end, you know, kind of run with, right? Let me get somebody who's hovering around in the 20s who I like. I think he was a very good prospect. He did some things last year that were impressive. Like, he had some moments, so he wasn't a complete, you know, Darnell Washington, never to be heard from again type. So Michael Mayer heading into year two, maybe that's kind of a guy that you want to get more of on your exposure on your dynasty rosters.
Yeah, because, I mean, people have kind of left him for dead unless the guy that owns him is one of those, you know, oh, he was loved him so much last offseason, he still hasn't given up that love. But if it's just some random guy in your league that has Michael Mayer, you could probably get him a lot cheaper than you could have last year, that's for sure, with the hype for him coming into the draft. I still think he's really good, and maybe it just takes him a year or two. You know, a lot of these tight ends, it does take 2 or 3 years to finally get it. Look at David Njoku. It took his second fucking contract for him to finally hit. A lot of these guys, same thing. Evan Engram had some really good seasons to start. Noah Fant had some really good seasons to start. Last couple of years haven't been great, but Noah Fant's still only 26, and he's still an elite athlete.
Yeah.
I think the best years are ahead for Fant. Cole Kmet took a couple years. Dallas Goedert was behind Zach Ertz for a while. It took him a couple years. So for tight ends, it's one of those positions where you just don't give up on them that early. They're going to eventually work it out probably if they're talented enough.
Definitely. Adam's going to really push hard for Noah Fant this year. Just forewarning everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it a couple months ago when free agency was starting with Fant. I thought that was going to be the guy. So me and Adam have been on that train for sure. Now with Parkinson gone, Will Disley gone, it's just the Noah Fant show there with the Seahawks. I expect Noah Fant to push for top 12 tight end this year. Maybe not in dynasty, but redraft, I think he pushes for top 12 dynasty or redraft tight end this year.
Finish. Yep. I can get behind that one too.
Any other tight ends? I mean, I kind of just mentioned fans. Is there any other tight ends like from like 17 down that you want to mention that you kind of like?
The Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave thing is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I like both of them. Musgrave did put up at the beginning part of the season, was putting up stuff. Then he went down and Tucker Kraft took off and owned basically the tight end room while Luke Musgrave was out and put up some really good usable weeks. If you just look at our spike weeks, consistency weeks, I mean, they're both tied right next to each other, both with 5 consistent weeks. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Both of these guys, though, I'll highlight for, you know, whichever one that you're on, just be prepared for the other one to be the guy, right? And act accordingly, like once you figure it out. You know, we get to early season, they're both healthy, and you see, for example, Musgrave's out there 70% of the snaps and Kraft's only playing 30%. Pivot accordingly. But conversely, though, let go of your priors on Luke Musgrave if you see Tucker Kraft's the one who's out there starting games and playing 70% of the snaps with Musgrave only coming in at 30. So I like both of them. I think Tucker Kraft probably had the better college prospect profile coming out, at least production-wise, because Musgrave really didn't do anything in college other than test really well and be a RAS freak, which not a bad thing, right? Sometimes that's where those tight ends come from and historically, but Tucker Kraft was pretty good in the RAS too. I just gave him the edge on production. So I have Kraft over Musgrave, but they're literally right next to each other.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another couple tight ends I wanted to mention. that I like for this coming season quite a bit. So this is a guy that you've liked a lot too, Juwan Johnson from the Saints. They have not brought in anybody there to give him any competition at all. So that was noteworthy for me, especially the way that he ended the season. I don't know if you remember how he ended the season, but it was like
fantastic. Help me win some championships, man. Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, he was winning championships for everybody last year. Had some big games down the stretch. Like I said, they haven't brought in anybody there. They don't have probably that much draft capital because it's the fucking Saints, and they always trade all their capital. So I don't think they're going to be addressing tight end in a weaker tight end class. So that is a guy I am very interested in this year. The other one that I really, really like is Colby Parkinson with the Rams. They gave him a pretty sizable contract this offseason. And Tyler Higbee tore his ACL, I believe it was, like in week 17 or 18, something like that.
Yeah.
So he's going to probably miss some of the beginning of the season. And Davis Allen really came along last year. I was on the Davis Allen train. Yep. Still really like Davis Allen, but then they went and signed Parkinson and gave him a big deal.
Yeah, that was a kick to the teeth, wasn't it, for the Davis Allen people? Like, because I was on board with you too, Eric. I was like, oh, anywhere I can get Davis Allen on these best ball rosters, I got to, you know. What's it cost me? $312? I'll make that bet. And then they signed Parkinson. And it's like, shit.
Yeah. And Parkinson was on a lot of my waiver wires this offseason, so I went and scooped him up.
Snatched him up, buddy.
Yeah. He's going to be one of the guys this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished in the top 15 tight ends for fantasy this coming season. I think he could have that good of a year. Another guy I wanted to highlight, I don't know if he's going to have as good as a season as he did last year. I think his season was phenomenal, and nobody saw it coming, and that was Jonnu Smith with Atlanta. Now he's signed with Miami, and it's only Durham Smythe there. And, yeah, they like Durham Smythe, but Jonnu is a different animal, a different freak. For those, like, Shanahan-type offenses, like, he's I don't want to call him George Kittle, but he's a athletic, you know, guy like George Kittle is. Jonnu Smith can block. He can go out and catch the ball too and do really well. So I think Jonnu Smith and that offense, I think he could have a really big year. Another guy that you can probably get fairly cheap. And then the last one I want to mention is Gesicki with the Bengals. Another guy, you know, the Bengals have had so many tight ends the last couple of years. Hayden Hurst, Tanner Hudson, Irv Smith failed last year. CJ Uzama a couple years ago had a big season with Joe Burrow. Gesicki is definitely going to be the most athletic tight end that they've had in these 4 or 5 years that Burrow's been there. This is a spot for Gesicki to really shine this year. Like, going to New England, I thought, okay, maybe him and Hunter Henry can do something, and New England just was, their offense was so fucking bad, you couldn't get anything going there. So Gesicki was just wasted there last year. Obviously, his first year with McDaniel in Miami, too, they just didn't know how to use him, weren't using him properly. So it's like two lost seasons in a row for Gesicki. He's still only 28, so he's up there, but he is hitting at his athletic prime is right here in the 27 to 30 years old range is when he's going to be hitting his athletic prime. And what better way to do it with Joe Burrow? And then they lost Tyler Boyd to free agency, most likely. They're not going to bring him back. Like, they can use Gesicki in the slot as a big slot. So I am intrigued by that quite a bit. So I really like Gesicki this year and see what he can do with Joe Burrow.
I like that. Some of the guys I'll highlight too, like the tier 5 and 6, probably for this tight end. Like, these are a lot of guys I'm going to have on a lot of rosters, just how I roster construct. Because if you think about it in startup drafts, like, a lot of these guys you're not taking until the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th round plus. Like, right. Some of these dudes are going to be 18th, 19th rounders, you know, even in decent tight end premium leagues. But I'm going to have a lot of these guys. Hunter Henry's always a guy that I kind of liked. He's had some pretty good moments. Like you said, they got let Gesicki go. Right? So it's like it's his show now. Hopefully with a quarterback upgrade and offense upgrade. You already touched on Juwan Johnson, a rookie I'll throw in there. Jatavion Sanders didn't test as well as I had hoped, like kind of what I thought. But he still came in as a very good plus athlete, 8.39 RAS. Definitely checks the boxes as far as, you know, future outlook and success. Kate Otten, solid for Tampa Bay. Tyler Conklin is an interesting one. Now, this could move up or down depending on how the draft goes. You know, there's the Brock Bowers rumors. You know, if Bowers goes there, then fucking write Tyler Conklin off. Like, we're good. All right, we're done. Yeah. But if he doesn't, Aaron Rodgers, top tight end. Tyler Conklin's had moments. Darren Waller hinges on whether he can stay healthy or he retires. Right?
Right.
Right. We've seen him produce, but after last year, bad taste in people's mouths. Zach Ertz was an interesting signing for Washington. Yep. So he could also, you know, get an uptick. Chig is just going to be there because it's Chig. He's a young tight end who's a decent enough athlete, so we'll see how he goes. Janu, I really like that one. While you were talking here, Janu and Colby Parkinson, I moved up to tier 5. Like, just put them in the mix with, like, the Hunter Henry where I kicked that off. So yeah. I do like the Janu. Now thinking about Shanahan offenses and just kind of that scheme and, you know, the other people around the league who run it, kind of like McDaniel does. Yeah, you could see it, even though all we've had is Durham, Smythe, and a Mike McDaniel offense so far, and it has been very uninspiring, right? Mm-hmm. And then Colby Parkinson, following the money and the injury, big opportunity. And then the guys who come after him, Dallin Holker right now for me is my tight end 3 of this class. I get it. It's very close. Theo Johnson comes in right after him. If you don't know about Theo Johnson, just go check his combine. Production last year is going to throw you off, like why some of these other tight ends at Penn State were playing above him and getting more run, but Theo came in and just absolutely fucking nuked the combine from the tight end position, so you do need to pay attention to him. Gesicki, I like that. He's on your list. A little bit more down on him. Not as excited about it just because he's been such a disappointment the last few years. And then I always got to throw Taysom Hill in at the end, right?
Yeah.
I always got to throw Taysom Hill in, especially in sleeper leagues with that dual position eligibility. You might, you know, slide in your quarterback league one time in a best ball league.
And then the one that you mentioned and one you didn't mention with Ertz going to Washington now with Kingsbury, who Kingsbury had him the last couple years before he left Arizona.
So fed him.
He's worked with Ertz before. So I do like Ertz this year as a guy you could get, you know, if you're the last team to take a tight end and you take Zach Ertz at tight end, you know, tight end 12 or whatever, I don't hate it. I think that could be a spot that could pay off for you. And then the last one that was a very under the radar signing, I actually didn't even see that it happened in real time during free agency. But if you think about it, it really fits. And that's Hayden Hurst to the Chargers. So Gerald Everett's gone. They still have like Parham there. Hayden Hurst, he was there with Greg Roman in Baltimore when they drafted him. He's very familiar with this offense. They like to, you know, block here, but who else are they going to throw the ball to? Like, Hayden Hurst might be like the number 2 option on this team, especially knowing the offense. And Justin Herbert, you know, he's thrown into the tight ends before. He hasn't like peppered the shit out of them or anything, but I think Hayden Hurst is another sneaky guy if you're in like a start 2 tight end league, where Hayden Hurst might be your tight end 2 that you start all season long. Like, I think that could be a sneaky little guy that you could get. And I know a lot of people dropped him too because of his concussion stuff, that were all the rumors that he didn't play a whole lot last year. You know, if he's fine and he's healthy, I think Hayden Hurst could be a guy that ends up being somebody that pays off for a lot of us in fantasy this year.
I can get behind that one. Definitely risky, though. You don't know where he's at with his health. And, you know, are you one hit away from just not playing ever again? So
yeah, it's like Jordan Reed all over again. But
yeah, but definitely kind of like a Zach Ertz, too. It was weird to see, even in these deep best ball leagues that I was in, just the way the final part of the season shook out. Hayden Hurst, Zach Ertz just chilling on waivers. You know, Colby Parkinson, obviously, just chilling on waivers. So. Yeah. Definitely, if your league is one of those more casual ones that's asleep, you know, definitely go, you know, peruse. You might be surprised to see who's sitting out there on the waiver wire at the tight end position that could be a sneaky buy for you.
Absolutely. All right, so that's going to be it for our wide receiver and tight end ranks. Before we get into America's favorite game, I just want to bring up a couple things. First one is the Warp tool on the SouthHarmonFF.com website. Right now, we have a special code going on. If you use code DRAFTSEASON, all one word, you'll get 20% off the Warp tool right now. So go ahead. If you haven't tried out the Warp tool, now's a great time. You get 20% off. You can play with it here before the draft. Use it for your leagues. Get ready for the season, man. And it's a great tool, especially getting it for 20% off right now. No better time to try it right now than right now. So, and then the other one I want to mention too is our new partnership. Mike could talk a little bit more about it, but
oh, yeah.
ultimateautographs.com website. We'll have the referral code and the discount code in the show description. So make sure you guys check that on the podcast feed or the YouTube, whenever that comes up, it'll be up there. Use the ultimateautographs.com referral link that we have. The discount code is Harmon15. You'll get 15% off your orders right there. So if you use that code, we would really appreciate it. But I've seen Mike do a couple of these live sports memorabilia box breaks on YouTube. They're on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook, so you can view them anywhere on there. They got MLB, NFL, and NHL, NBA, I believe, all that good stuff for the main sports. There's a variety boxes, like Mike pulled a Mike Tyson signed photo in one of the breaks.
Speaking of that, I got it here. I can show the YouTube audience, Eric. Let's show you, buddy. See it in person.
I haven't seen it, yeah. And Mike also, while Mike's getting that, he also pulled the Jerome Bettis helmet. That is pretty sweet. And he also got a Chad Johnson autographed helmet as well. So the Bettis and Chad Johnson helmets I saw. And there you go. There's the Mike Tyson punch out photo from the punch out game from Nintendo.
Yeah, buddy.
That is fucking sweet.
Can't wait to get that thing framed and put it behind me, man. It's going to be up there.
Hell yeah. Have you gotten the helmets yet too?
Got them all. Got them all yesterday. Nice. Yesterday afternoon, they all showed up. So they're pretty fast on the shipping. You know, I just want them over the weekend.
Right.
Friday, Thursday night, Saturday. Yeah, got the Chad Johnson one. Definitely an authentic on-the-field helmet because that thing's heavy as shit. The Jerome Bettis one that I won, the white alternate. Pittsburgh. Oh, man, that thing is incredibly good-looking. Drew Bledsoe signed helmet from the Patriots back in the day, which is interesting because I just, you know, finished binge-watching The Dynasty on Apple TV. So right, it's good for my, like, timing, man, timing.
Hell yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm gonna get in on some breaks here soon. I gotta figure that out and get in on some.
We will be doing our YouTube thanks for, you know, hitting 10k subscribers. Thanks to y'all. Two of those things that I won will be in the giveaway. So the Denzel Perryman mini helmet and the Jimmy Smith Jaguars mini helmet.
Nice.
Be in the giveaway. So those of you who don't know about Jimmy Smith's game from the Jaguars, go check it out. Might be before your time if you're a youngster, but that dude was the truth.
Yeah, he was a top 10 dynasty wide receiver there for a long time back in the late 90s, for sure.
Talk about a warp god.
him, Brunel, Jimmy Smith, and Keenan McCardell, man. They were that was a hell of a trio there.
Went in Freddie Taylor in the backfield, too.
Oh. If he was ever fucking healthy, yep.
Yeah. When he was healthy, yeah.
Which was like three games a year. But they went into Denver in 96 in the playoffs and just fucking put a whooping on them in the playoffs there. Denver was the favorite with Elway, Davis, Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, all those guys. They were making fun of the Jaguars. If you ever watched the Jimmy Smith NFL Network special, they made fun of them and they took that personal, went in and kicked their ass.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did, especially from an expansion franchise, you know, most expansion franchises that we've seen over our lifetime so far, right? You remember when the Browns came back, they were terrible ass. Yeah. Texans with David Carr. Yeah. David Carr, they were fucking terrible too. So to see the Jaguars.
Two teams, I think, made it to the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship within their second or third year.
Yeah, I think both of them did. I think they came in officially in 95?
95 or 96.
One of those years. So it was within 2 years that they were both in the championship game as expansion franchises, which was a feat that I don't think we'll ever see again.
Yeah, Carolina had Kerry Collins as their quarterback. A lot of people forget Reggie White finished his career on the Panthers. Kevin Green was there. So, like, they had some players on Carolina there. And then obviously Jacksonville had Jimmy Smith, Mark Brunell, and Keenan McCardell, Fred Taylor. Those were the main guys there. Tony Boselli was the first Jaguars pick, too. He didn't have as long as a career as he should have had, but he's a Hall of Famer now. So, there's some really good players there for sure.
Oh, man. So, yeah, they both came in 95 and 96. They both made the conference championship game.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it was something like that. So that's pretty cool. That probably won't be done in the NFL.
Well, speaking of the Drew Bledsoe thing, right? The Jaguars lost to the Patriots, led by Drew Bledsoe, and the Panthers lost to the Packers, who went on to win the Super Bowl and beat Drew Bledsoe's Patriots.
Yep, that's what.
Wasn't it was. Like fucking Desmond Howard the Super Bowl MVP that year too?
Yeah, he had the punt return touchdown. Robert Brooks had a big touchdown catch in that one too. Andre Rison was on the Packers. He caught a touchdown in that one. That was a good Super Bowl for sure.
One of the first ones I can really remember watching full.
Yeah, that was the Patriots where they had the Patriot on their shoulder pads, like the logo. Those were always cool. I like those jerseys.
So I've been like, was Terry Glenn on that Patriots team at wide receiver, the Ohio State kid?
I believe so, yes. They had Terry Glenn. Troy Brown was on that team.
Curtis Martin maybe at running back? He was a Patriot before he was a Jet, right?
Yeah, I think Curtis Martin was there at running back. I believe Teddy Bruschi was on that team still, and not sure if Rabel was or not. McGinnis was on that team.
Willie McGinnis would have been, yeah.
Yeah, so Ty Law, I believe, was on that team too. So they had some players on that team.
Can't forget Lawyer Malloy, the law firm back there, right? Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy.
Yeah, they were incredible, man. But, so guys, check out those the Ultimate Autographs website there. Like I said, we'll put the referral codes in the podcast description.
It's fun and exciting, right? You can get in, I think the lowest spot break that I've ever seen is for signed official jerseys. So not the repops, the ones with no logos, but the lowest I think is like $26. And then just a reminder, we do got that promo code Harmon15, so you can get 15% off your first order there.
And how much is it, like a spot, like the helmet break?
So the mini helmets, I believe, are like $44 or $46 for one of the mini helmets. The full size, I believe, are $80 bucks. Okay. And then they got, multi-sport giveaways. Those prices all vary. Funny story about that one, Eric. I told you, too, when I got in that. They listed or they put your spots like football, basketball, baseball, and then everything else. And I ended up getting the everything else tier. And I'm not a huge like hockey fan or NASCAR fan or anything. I was like, ah, shit, man. If I do win something, it's gonna be terrible, like Richard Petty's, racing suit or something like that. Like it'd be a cool conversation piece, but like it doesn't really get my juices flowing with everything else they had in there. And then they ended up winning, and they pulled out that Mike Tyson photo, and I was like, holy shit, the best I could have done, Iron Mike, get the fuck out of here. So even when you feel like you're defeated there, you can still pull it out, man. You can still pull it out.
It'll look good under your Iowa photo.
Oh, it's going to look amazing.
That's awesome. All right, America's favorite game. We'll get out of here.
Yep.
Favorite wide receiver, favorite tight end of all time.
Who we got? All time. Wide receiver all time, though, this one's an easy one for me. And I would venture to say that there's still an argument about who the greatest wide receiver is. But I'll say if this guy could have played out his full career and stayed healthy, the greatest wide receiver debate would have been over. And it's Calvin Johnson. That's what I grew up with. Megatron, man. 6'6", 230, runs a 4.3. You can't even triple coverage him. Like, go back and watch some of those. Those just YOLO balls, doesn't matter. There's three dudes on him. Calvin was still coming down. So wide receiver, that's easy. Megatron for me. And that was the kind of guy I don't know if we'll ever see again, because that was the dude you made in Madden. Every time you could create a player, you made your wide receiver like Calvin Johnson. Absolutely. Tight end. Man, there's so many good ones. I'm a big fan of tight end U, the University of Iowa. I got three of them behind me right now. We just got a fourth with Sammy Ballgame in there, but probably my favorite NFL tight end of all time. Yo, I'm going to go a little off my favorite, just favorite, not the best, my favorite, Algie Crumpler from the early 2000s Atlanta Falcons teams. I love me some Algie Crumpler to death, man.
He was a fucking mountain.
Yes, he was. You did not want to tackle
him. My second favorite hit was Brian Dawkins lighting his ass up in the NFC Championship game.
Who didn't Brian Dawkins light up?
Yeah.
Everybody.
That was like my second favorite hit was Dawkins just lighting him up.
Speaking of the Ultimate Autographs thing, man, like I went ham because I saw a B-Doc signed helmet in there, black one, and he put the inscription Weapon X on it too, which just made it 10 times better. So I really, really wanted it. It didn't work out, but hey, got to shoot your shot sometimes.
That sucks. Favorite wide receiver for me, I recorded my episode for next week with Koopa, kind of asked him the same thing. So kind of, you know, give the same answers here. But I've always been a big A.J. Brown fan. Some other guys that I like, you know, today's game. I love Garrett Wilson. That was my favorite receiver in that class. So I've always liked Garrett Wilson. Ja'Marr Chase is a hell of a player, too. Really like him. Always liked JSN. JSN's another one of the young guys that I like. Some of the other ones, let's see. Yeah, there's just so many freaking wide receivers. I'm trying to think of some of the older ones that I like, too. So I'll go with some of the older Browns ones. Like, they never were, like, you know, superstars or anything. But when the Browns first came back in 99, Kevin Johnson was awesome there for a couple years. Dennis Northcutt, like, he was, like, the ultimate, like, slot receiver, do-it-all. Like, he was, yeah, just that do-it-all type player for the Browns. So I always liked him. Josh Cribbs, I guess if you count him as a wide receiver, he was one of the most electric return men. Him and Devin Hester would just battle each year for who was the best return man. So those two were always good. And then tight end, I give the same answer I gave on the other show. Antonio Gates was probably my favorite tight end. That dude was came out of nowhere as a basketball player, and then absolute fucking beast in the NFL, man. That watching him play was awesome. Got robbed, should have been in the Hall of Fame first ballot this year. Tony Gonzalez was always a good one to watch. You know, Shannon Sharp was a good, decent one to watch too, early in my years. And then more recently, I mean, Zach Ertz for the Eagles was always a good one to watch, being, you know, liking the Eagles as well. Love Njoku. I like the way he plays the game. Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski, fucking Gronk was a beast. So you can't really go wrong with any of those guys, man. Gronk was a lot of fun to watch.
I'll give you a couple wide receivers, too, that are honorable mentions, at least as far as my favorites that really shaped, you know, just how I view the wide receiver position. Herman Moore from the Detroit Lions. You want to talk about a guy who was like Calvin Johnson before Calvin Johnson? It was Herman Moore. Go check out some YouTube highlights of Herman Moore, man. That guy was good. Yeah. And Shannon Sharpe's brother, Sterling Sharpe of the Packers. You know, he had his career cut short because of injuries. He had bad neck injury, I think that was, you know. But that guy was absolutely incredible. And then Justin Blackmon, I loved him coming out of Oklahoma State. He was dynamite his rookie year and then got into the alcohol, man, had a bad drinking problem. So never to be heard from again.
Yeah. I loved Torrey Holt, too, as a kid with the Rams. Like, that whole Rams offense was fun to watch, but Torrey Holt was, he was fucking great.
No, what about some Oz Hakeem?
It was Holt, Bruce, Oz Hakeem, and Ricky Prohl. Four guys, and then, God, I can't think of the tight end's name off the top of my head. They had, like, Ernie Conwell and somebody else. I forget the hell the name was, but they had some pretty decent tight ends there with Mike Martz and
Dick Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil, that's the name.
Former Eagles coach, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just some really good wide receivers and tight ends there. Eagles wide receivers, like, probably be Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
But I can't really bring up James Trash and Todd Stinkston. Like, watching those guys was fucking awful. Like, if McNabb would have had Owens his whole career, he would have at least had one Super Bowl. I'm fairly confident in that, but, like,
I could throw one in there, but it's real old school. That's Harold Carmichael.
Harold Carmichael, yep.
All 6'7".
That's right, receiver. Yeah, he was a fucking beast.
Harold Carmichael, Hall of Famer, too. That's another guy, like, if I could win something signed by Harold Carmichael, I'd be over the moon.
That's another reason why McNabb should be in the Hall of Fame. His fucking receivers were James Trash and Todd Stinkston, and he still fucking took them to four NFC Championship games.
Don't forget Fred X. Freddie Mitchell.
I have. It's in storage somewhere. I have that photo signed by Fred X.
Let's go.
Catching it over the rapist, Darren Sharper.
Let's go, Fred X.
Yeah.
Good character, man.
That ball right over fucking the rapist Darren Sharper, and it was great. Love that. My buddy's a Packers fan. He was a big Brett Favre fan, and every year I'll text him 4th and 26, and I don't have to say anything else.
Here's always a fun wide receiver thing that I always think about, and you brought up Ultimate Autographs and me winning that Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco one. Steve Smith was another incredible wide receiver for the Panthers. You know, ice up, son. Love that guy. Think about this, Eric. Both of those guys were on the same junior college team. Both of them were on the same. What the? You imagine trying to defend that shit? Like, that quarterback had to be in heaven. I'm sure he was dog shit, you know. Right. Actually, but, like, I got Steve Smith and I got Chad Johnson on a JUCO team. Fuck me.
Well, how bad is it that those guys had to be on JUCOs? They
weren't Big misses.
And then Chad Johnson went to Oregon State and he had Hushman Zada with him too. So
Nuts.
Pretty crazy.
Crazy how that stuff works out.
Absolutely. But no, appreciate having you on again, Mike, as always, man.
Absolutely.
At Eric Vanek NFL, you can follow me there on Twitter, at South Harmon FF on Twitter, at America's Game Pod, follow all those on Twitter. Mike's at Iowa Michael, follow him there. Yeah, definitely check out those Ultimate Autographs. Really cool live breaks on there, so we're excited to have them as partners now.
If you guys win anything, man, show it off, you know?
Hell yeah, tag one of us or tag all of us.
I want to see it.
Yeah, post some pictures up of what you guys won.
I want to celebrate your dubs.
If you get a Brian Dawkins anything,
we'll trade you.
He'll trade. he'll buy it off of you.
We'll trade for sure. Mike Vick Eagles, Donovan McNabb, Randall Cunningham, Jaws. You get a Jaworski.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be in. Let's go.
Hell yeah. Those are some iconic ones there. So, all right. Well, that is going to be it for this week, guys. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
See y'all.